On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
So good to me.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Get off my back, will ya?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? Hey, thanks for stopping by. You didn't have to do this, and I appreciate it. I really do. The least you could have done is comb your hair. Seriously, you look ridiculous. How you doing? Good to be with you. My God, you're looking good. Have you checked yourself for ticks? Yeah, I know. It's tick season. Yay, it's tick season. Can't wait. The holiday spirit. No, that's Christmas. This is tick season. It's different. This is where the deers... Those lovely deers, Bambi, walking around with ticks. Who knew? If you have a dog or a person, you got to check for ticks. They live in the grass and the bushes and in the neighborhood and they're all over the place. These ticks, and they're not even ticks. They're just ticks. And if one of these things embeds into your skin, you turn into this incredible monster and you start eating people and you turn into a zombie. I don't think it's that bad, but it's still bad. Check your dog for ticks. Ticks love dogs. They really do. Tasty. And they latch onto your dog and they suck your dog's blood. They're the vampires of the tick world. They're like mosquitoes. They love sucking blood. Got these blood-sucking insects all over the place. What kind of who did that? Was that started in a lab in China? They were experimenting on little bugs that suck blood, and one got loose, and this is the result. Is this COVID-23? I don't think so. Anyway, you can give your dog flea and tick stuff in the form of a collar or a liquid that you put on its neck, or even a pill which you digest, which the dog digests. My dog is not big on pills. My dog could never be an octogenarian for many reasons. But I've never heard my dog say, I'm not taking that pill. No way, baby. I sounded like a Bernie Sanders there for a second, didn't I? Excuse me while I wipe my nose, because I have allergies. I can't hide this anymore. I just can't. There's pollen all over the place. I went walking my little dog yesterday, and there was like these pollen tail things all over the place. Whoever said, I love spring. Spring is a wonderful... Fuck you. It's not wonderful. It's the presentation of problems is what it is. I know I sound curmudgeon-y. I know it. I'm not blind to myself. But seriously, let's stop hyping up these seasons like they're so miraculously wonderful. And stop hyping up Christmas like it's the time of peace and love. Take a look around. It's not a time of peace and love. And I can't afford to get all of you gifts. It's the time of going broke. An eggnog, too much sugar, it'll kill you. So stop with the Christmas thing. I do sound curmudgeon-y, don't I? But I'm not. I'm a loving man. All right. My guest later on in the show is going to talk about prescription drop-off season. If you have prescriptions in your house and you don't know how to get rid of them, because they can be quite dangerous to pets and children and even people, what do you do if your prescriptions are expired? Do you keep them in a safe place? They can be toxic in the wrong hands or mixed with the wrong other medications. I mean, you know, so what do you do? Well, that's why we do a show. It's to inform you. So that'll happen toward the end of the program. By the way, that's not why I do the show. It might be an end result here and there, but it's not why I do the show. Anyway, I laugh at myself for no reason whatsoever, so just excuse me. There was a report on the local news. I live in the Boston area. It doesn't matter where I live. It doesn't matter where you live. Who cares? These little local news stations, they do these specialty pieces in order to kill time, pretty much. That's it. Let's be honest. They consider it interest stories. I consider it killing time. And believe me, I am an expert on how to kill time in the media. Anyway, so they did this piece about business meetings. And I thought, you're stretching it. You're stretching it now. You're reporting on things that nobody really cares about. Then I found that they did. They do care about it. I, for a period of time in my life, before I got into radio, I was a business manager for a company. And there were a few managers of different departments in this company. And they held business meetings every Monday morning, and then sometimes just sporadically, they'd say, someone would come around going, business meeting in the conference room. And I go, oh no, I got stuff to do. Here's a problem with business meetings. They all suck. They all suck. Let's not mince words. Let's not mince pineapples. Let's be honest. They suck. You have to know how to run a meeting. Here's how you run a business meeting. Say what you want to say, take a couple of questions, and get the hell out of there. Typically, business meetings are two things. Typically, the first thing is that the person holding the business meeting has an ego the size of a stadium, loves to have people gather around and listen to him or her just spout out about stuff. They say it's to inform you or motivate you. No, it's to hear themselves talk in every case, in every single case. And if it wasn't the case, they wouldn't hold these stupid meetings. They'd send you an email just telling you, here's a suggestion, here's what you should do, here are the goals, here's what I want to say. Just send the email. And then if you want to make sure everybody got the email, you say, please respond that you understand this email. That's all you have to do. Stop with the stupid business meetings. And then you try to make it with jelly donuts. You know, oh, we're going to have a business meeting. We're going to have coffee and jelly donuts. Park your donuts. Let's not have the meeting. How about that idea? Business meetings are for the person holding the business meeting to hear themselves talk. Hands down, no exceptions. Number two, and the only other reason why someone holds a business meeting is these stupid employees who, at the end of the meeting, the person holding it, the ego conference, at the end of the meeting, the person said, does anybody have any questions? And everybody in that meeting says to themselves, don't have any questions. Let's just get the hell out of here now. There's always one douchebag in every crowd who raises their hand and says, I have a question, and then it just doesn't end. This person that raises their hand to ask a question is what we call the kiss-ass douchebag. I want to impress everybody that I am involved. I want to impress my boss, my supervisor, that I have incredible interest. I'm kissing ass right now at the expense of everybody else's time. The kiss-ass douchebag, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear it for him or her. These people should not be permitted into the life cycle. And those are the two reasons that business meetings occur. To have the business meeting spokesperson stroke their ego, and to have someone listening to the business meeting be the ego stroker. And that's it. Most people who have jobs have things that they have to do. And they have to do it on a timely basis. There are deadlines. There are things that must be done now. You didn't plan for this. Part of what you do is to troubleshoot. I must figure this out now. And then some schmuck says, let's have a business meeting. And now you can't do your job. Now when you get out of the business meeting, things are just totally all over the place and a piece of crap. And that's what business meetings do. You must understand, if you hold business meetings, you are introducing crap into the world. There are other ways to do it. Now, during the COVID-19, 20, 21, whatever you want to call this COVID thing, they did Zoom meetings. You couldn't even get coffee and donuts with these Zoom meetings. What's the point of having a business meeting if you can't have food and coffee and donuts? None. It's like having a birthday party for an employee and not having a cake. What's the point? Happy birthday, Joe. Here's a cup of coffee. Happy birthday. That's not it. Don't have the party then. Well, then don't have the business meeting. So they had a Zoom meeting where you could sit at home in your underpants and listen to a business meeting, but you can't leave because they can see if you're not there. And that sucked too, because you had stuff you were supposed to do, but you couldn't do it. And what's the one thing that you have to do, but you can't do it? Pee. When is this going to be over? I can't hold us in anymore. Johnson, where are you going? I have to pee. Yeah, right. You're fired. Oh my God, Johnson's not going to be with us anymore. Be honest with you, didn't care for Johnson. Yeah, in every company, you've got the honorary douchebag. And I think that in the interviews for hiring, they actually say, we're hiring for a position, but actually, we're down one douchebag. Can we hire you? Are you a good douchebag? Oh, are you kidding me? I'm the biggest douchebag you've ever seen. You're hired. Do you kiss ass to the supervisor? Sure I do. Look at my lips. Cold sores all over them. And little brown marks. You're hired. Lifelong employee. Here's a contract so I can't ever fire you. Stroke my ego, baby. It's just so pathetic. The whole thing's pathetic, isn't it? In most cases, the people that rise to power within companies, in most cases, not all, but in most cases, these are the ego strokers. No, they're not the ego strokers. They are the target of the ego strokers. They are the ego people. They are ego people who are into power and into telling people what to do. I love telling people what to do. You, go get me a cup of coffee. And you are nothing but a peon to me. These people, for some reason, rise above. Because a lot of companies figure that the annoying asshole is the most effective employee we have. Okay. Well, enjoy your company. Seriously. And most of us, We don't know. We buy laundry soap, which is basically made by Procter & Gamble. I don't go to Procter & Gamble business meetings. There could be a bunch of assholes sitting there. I have no idea. I just use their laundry soap. Those poor people that work for that company. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm saying it's probably the case. I buy a lot of stuff. I didn't go to their business meetings. They could be idiots. I wouldn't buy their stuff if I went to their business meetings and found out just how idiotic and ridiculous they are. How much they're raping me over the coals. I wouldn't buy it then. But I don't know, you see. I'm just buying their product. I have no idea how it got there. Nor do I care at that point. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Some of you do. Those of you that work at jobs where they have business meetings and this ridiculous pyramid of power. It's not fun. It's not a good time. Why can't they make jobs fun? Some companies try to do it, but then there's always one person that spoils it with an ego and the hunt for power and all that. I've had many jobs where my supervisor was a perfectly wonderful person. And then one day, that perfectly wonderful person left to go to another job or died. And they brought in somebody else, or they gave somebody from the ranks an opportunity to be a supervisor. But usually they hire from the outside. And then all of a sudden, going to that job was not fun anymore. It wasn't rewarding anymore. It was horrible. I've told this story before on the air. Company that I worked for, where I was a manager, I managed the operations. I was the operations manager. That was my title. And I didn't perform operations. This was not in the hospital. This was in a company with a product. But I was the operations manager. So I had to go to all these meetings and just sit there and pick my nose. That usually got me out of the meeting rather quickly. Or at least if somebody ever checked under their chair, they'd find I was productive in a different way. But there were a lot of sales managers in these meetings. And the sales managers, oh my God, you know, you're wonderful people probably outside of the office. But inside the office, what a douchebag master you guys are. The sales managers would say to their sales force, you know, you did a great job, but you can do better. That horrible phrase, but you can do better. You are the most wonderful person on the planet. Goodness shines out of your ass. You're the most productive, wonderful person we have ever had in this company, but you can do better. And I went to business school for a short period of time until I threw up every morning. And I wasn't even pregnant. And they taught me, no matter how good an employee is, you got to push them for more. Oh my God, when does it stop? It doesn't. Not until they break down. It's a psychological game, is what it is. Those of you that don't work in companies where this stuff occurs, you're very lucky. You are the fortunate one. You are the fortunate one. That's why if you have a business and you work for yourself and you're self-employed, you don't have these problems. You're not going to annoy yourself. If you're annoying yourself, you're going to stop annoying yourself, right? Sure. That's how these things work. All right, kids. My guest is going to join us momentarily. I'm going to talk about getting rid of your prescription drugs that may be outdated, etc. A lot of people don't know what to do with them. I have some suggestions, but it's not nice to say. How about this? How about a company that makes this product?
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak, That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Ashley Schmidt is VP of Regulatory and Compliance at Inmar Intelligence. Thanks for being with us today, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me.
So here's a problem. There's all these prescription drugs that every American takes every day. Some of us 5 or 6 different medications. Some over the counter. Some prescribed. And they hang out, they get expired, things happen. What do you do with them?
Well, that's a great question. So today, really, the call to action is to make sure that Americans know how to properly dispose of their medications. So they should go through their medicine cabinets at least every 6 months and identify those medications that are unused, unwanted, or expired, and clean them out of their medicine cabinet and place them in a bag or a box and take them to either a take-back day event or a local prescription take-back kiosk, mm-hmm. which can be found in pharmacies or hospitals or sometimes in local law enforcement agencies
yes.
across the country.
Yes, in most cases, your local police department will take them. But let's talk about what people do wrong, because I think you may be able to make a connection here. I believe most people would either empty the pills into the toilet and flush it, or they would throw them in the garbage so that the trash collectors can bring it to the dump. That's usually the way it happens, isn't it?
It is, and unfortunately, neither of those are really the best way to dispose of your medications. And I don't know about you, Ron, but I'm a mom. I have four kids, and I'm really passionate about the importance of, you know, properly and timely disposing of those unused medications so that we, you know, can make our household safe and prevent not only drug abuse, but child poisoning and, you know, help prevent water contamination. Just to name a few, you know, recently a study conducted by Inmar Intelligence found that over 75% of us have those unused medications in our homes.
Yeah.
So, you know, why are we hanging on to those medications?
Some of them are, you know, not supposed to be, you know, I mean, some of them are expired because you go to take it because you haven't needed it in a while, maybe anxiety pills, something like that, because you don't take them every day. And then you notice that, whoa, they've been expired for a year. What do I do now? So that's, and those are some of the dangerous ones, aren't they?
They certainly can be, yes. As a matter of fact, most people who misuse or, you know, become addicted, about half start with something that was prescription that either they or a family member had.
Yeah.
So it's really important to properly dispose of those medications so that they're not hanging out.
Yeah, there's other ramifications too. As you said, you're a mom and, you know, I'm dad, and it's a problem. You know, we have the child-proof caps on the prescription bottles, and you know, God forbid you don't. But then when you get teenagers, as wonderful as these kids are, you know, they don't know. They can be challenged to get the pills or to try something or be on TikTok. those kinds of things. I mean, as much as you can trust them, you can't take chances like that, can you?
That is 100% true. You know, there's a lot of pressure on our teenagers these days, and really, you know, ensuring if you have children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, you know, ensuring that temptation is not there is really important by removing and properly disposing of any expired or unwanted medications.
I see a term that you use here, diversion. What is that?
So diversion is a term that the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration uses when anytime a drug is in the hands of someone who it was not prescribed to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could be sold on the street. It could be, you know, obtained out of a trash can or given, you know, even you're really technically should not give medications to someone else either.
My God, no. Because it depends on what other medications you may be taking or even your metabolism or what you had for dinner. You never know. And answer me this. When medications expire, do people think that, okay, they don't do anything anymore? They're harmless because they're expired. They don't work anymore. So what difference does it make?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are still, you know, elements in those pills that can lead to things like water contamination.
Mm-hmm.
About 46% of people have trace amounts of pharmaceuticals in their drinking water.
Yep.
And, you know, certainly we don't want to flush them or throw them in the landfill because mm-hmm. those chemical elements do still leach into our water table, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's still something in them, even if they're expired. I mean, you know, no question about it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there is a prescription drug take back day national on that, but you can do this any day of the week or any day of the year, right?
That's exactly right. We like to say every day is take back day, but twice a year, the DEA does sponsor a national prescription drug take back day. And they do that really to create awareness in combination with local law enforcement or healthcare or companies like Inmar Intelligence, who I work for, where we partner with those local agencies and hold an event twice a year in the spring and the fall.
Yeah.
So that if you don't think about it any other time of the year, think about it when you're doing your spring cleaning and when you're preparing your house for holiday company in the fall, you know, clean out those medicine cabinets and drop those unused medications off at an event.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes it easier in order to actually do that. But as I say about things like Earth Day, I mean, that means like one day a year we care about the Earth, the other days not so much. I mean, you know, this is an everyday thing, as you've said, and that's the way that
it works. Is. And and Inmar has 6,000 kiosks located across the country, and you can find those in pharmacies. Not just law enforcement agencies, although you're correct, most local police stations will take them back. Mm-hmm. But there are kiosks located in a lot of retail pharmacies, hospital pharmacies, you know, in partnership with companies like Inmar, we are, you know, over the years, we've collected over 1 million pounds of drugs, you know, through those kiosks. So, they are there all the time, so make every day take back day.
Is there a website that we can visit?
There is, actually. For more information and to locate a kiosk near you, you can visit safemedicinedrop.com.
Great, safemedicinedrop.com. Hey, Ashley, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Thanks for the information.
Sure. Thank you so much. And really the key takeaway, you know, here today is that almost 300 people per day die of a drug overdose. So it is vital to properly dispose of our unwanted medications. You could literally save a family member's life. So I appreciate you letting us get the message out.
Well, there you go. That says it all. Thank you, Ashley. You take care. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. I know. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.